Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, May 21st, 2026. We'll start with a story titled Traveling Time. Drivers will face higher gas prices this holiday weekend. And this is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. And there's a picture of the sign at the Meyer Express gas station in Vermilion County shows the lowest price for unleaded gas in Vermilion County at $4.68. The average in Danville, according to GasBuddy.com, is $4.85, which is $1.57 higher than a year ago. AAA is predicting around 45 million Americans will be traveling at least 50 miles from their homes this Memorial Day weekend. And many are hitting the road this Memorial Day weekend, despite gas being close to $5 a gallon in many places. The organization says the number of cars to hit the road, open roads, is up from last year, with around 39.1 million traveling by a car despite high gas prices, and 3.66 million will be flying. And for those flying, flights are actually cheaper this year if booked early. Memorial Day marks the unofficial start of summer, and for most Americans, it's a free 3-day weekend, said Stacy Barber, vice president of AAA Travel, in a media release. Travel demand remains strong, and despite higher fuel prices, many people are prioritizing leisure travel during holiday breaks. For drivers in the Vermilion County area, a gallon of unleaded gas is as high as $4.99 a gallon in multiple places in Danville on Wednesday. According to GasBuddy.com, the cheapest place to fill up your tank in Danville is at the Meyer gas station for $4.68 a gallon. GasBuddy says the average price per gallon of regular gas for the 61832 zip code is $4.85. However, just across state lines in Vermilion County, Indiana, gas is cheaper by almost a dollar, with GasBuddy stating the average for the Cayuga, Indiana area to be around $4.09. And for those driving in the Prairie State, check out gettingaroundillinois.com before you begin your journey to check for any road construction or detours you may need to take. Officials in both Indiana and Illinois are encouraging drivers to obey the speed limits and to buckle up. This coming weekend, state highways and interstates will be very busy with regular holiday travel and extra traffic heading to and from Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Indianapolis 500, said Governor Mike Braun in a release. I encourage everyone to allow plenty of time, plan their routes in advance, and drive safely to those destinations. Wearing a seatbelt should be second nature for every driver and every passenger, said Stephanie B. Beerham, IDOT's Bureau Chief of Safety Programs and Engineering. If you choose not to buckle up, the result could be ticket or worse. You could lose your life in a crash. Indiana drivers, NDOT says, on Friday, starting at noon Eastern Time, they will lifting existing road closures and restrictions on state highways, interstates, and U.S. highways. To follow along for the ongoing construction projects, download the NDOT TrafficWise app or visit 511n.org. Construction will resume on Tuesday, May 26, with construction and maintenance season in full swing. NDOT is doing what we can in terms of alleviating congestion where possible, and said NDOT Commissioner Lindsey Quest. In addition to planning ahead, remember to buckle up, put the phone down, follow posted construction signs and speed limits, and don't drive impaired. We want everyone to stay safe this holiday weekend. Next story is titled Council Approves Multiple Grants, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. A series of grants discussed during last week's Public Works Committee meeting were approved at Tuesday's Danville City Council meeting for neighborhood revitalization, housing, environmental cleanup, and public safety. Council approved the 2026 Community Development Block Grant, known as CDBG, Annual Action Plan, which outlines how federal housing, known as HUD, funds will be used in the next year. Ward 6 Alderwoman Tricia Teague questioned it, and many others discussed it during the council. When I attend Connotum of Care meetings, the room is packed. So when the CDBG plan describes that group is very small, that doesn't match what I'm seeing, Teague says. I want the public record to reflect the true level of community participation. Community Development Administrator Logan Cronk said while he agrees the language is outdated, it is a carryover from past documentation and would be revised before submitting the plan to HUD, known as Housing and Urban Development. Council also approved the tree removal and pruning contract grant under their Community Roots program. This particular grant will remove 120 trees based on the city hired certified arborist assessment of 343 trees in the city. T questioned whether the grant could be used for those facing hefty fines. I know residents in the neighborhood who've been cited and had to pay thousands to remove dead trees while we're using grant funds to take down trees on rental and corporate properties, Teague said. For low-income and elderly homeowners, that doesn't feel fair. Ward 6 Alderman James Poshard agreed. If this grant lets us help residents who can't afford to remove dangerous trees, we should do it, Poshard said. We fought hard for the funding. Let's make sure it directly benefits people in our neighborhoods, just not city-owned lots. The city also approved seeking more state funding for demolitions of abandoned properties with the Illinois Housing Development Authority's Stronger Communities program. The purpose of the grant is to demolish blighted structures. And with cleaning up the city, the EPA site cleanup grant increase was approved for the properties on North Vermilion and North Hazel Streets. There will be a complete and thorough environmental remediation so those sites can be redeveloped. Since the money is available, we want to do this right so the properties are truly ready for future redevelopment and so we can prevent hazardous or petroleum contaminants from migrating back onto the site, Cronk said. Next story is titled Operation Viper was a success for the FBI, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, known as FBI, says they arrested 29 people and seized 7 firearms. They also took drug money and various drugs during Operation Viper. The 5-day operation, which included several arrests in Danville on April 29th, spanned multiple counties and cities in central Illinois. This operation sent a clear message that illegal activity has no place in our communities, said Decatur Chief of Police Brad Allen. I'm proud of all the work our officers and partner agencies did to take 29 offenders into custody and remove significant quantities of narcotics and weapons from our streets. This is about protecting lives, improving neighborhood safety, and holding those who choose to break the law accountable. Our work continues, and we remain committed to keeping our community safe. The FBI says the operation focused mainly on locating and apprehending violent offenders with active warrants. They call high-impact fugitives. Special Agent Charlatan talked about the operation briefly earlier in May and stated the operation focused on violent crimes. Our goal essentially is to stop gang violence and get drugs and weapons off the street, he said. FBI Special Agent and Public Affairs Jake Griffin said earlier this month that the goals of these types of operations are to help put a stop to violence. Danville and now in the country, they're aware that area is violent, which is why we're working with them as much as possible to kind of curb that violence in the area, Griffin said. Out of the drugs seized, the Bureau says they found 4,195.4 grams of marijuana, 781.1 grams of unidentified pills, 50 grams of cocaine, and 234.2 grams of methamphetamine, as well as $8,264 in narcotics-related currency, according to the FBI. They also found 5 handguns and 2 assault rifles. Multiple law enforcement agencies aided in the operation with significant help from the Decatur Police Department, the Kankakee County Sheriff's Office, and the United States Marshal Service, and it was led by the FBI. Other agencies that helped in the Operation Viper were the Danville Police Department, the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office, the Illinois State Police, the Drug Enforcement Agency known as DEA, and many varying offices that make up the United States Marshal's Service Great Lakes Regional Fugitive Task Force, with divisions in Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. For the Central District of Illinois, there were officials from the Springfield Police Department, Sangamon County State's Attorney Office, Macoupin County South, Southern View Police Department, Sangamon County State's Attorney's Office, Taylorville Police Department, and Illinois Department of Corrections. Apprehension, Peoria County South, Peoria Police Department, Bloomington Police Department, Normal Police Department, Knox County, Decatur Police Department, Champaign County State's Attorney Office, Bradley Police Department, Moultrie County Paris Police Department, Department of Homeland Security Enhancements and Removal, and the Illinois National Guard Contending Task Force. The success of Operation Viper highlights the seamless integration of federal, state, and local law enforcement, said FBI agent Springfield Office's special agent in charge, Ryan Presley. No single agency can combat violent crime alone, but by pooling resources, immediate threats to the public were eliminated. Maintaining the relentless pressure on violent crime remains a priority to protect the public. There are no obituaries today, so that's good. So we'll continue on with the next story titled Copenhaver Seeks Recount in Senate Race, and this is written by Tom Davies in Indiana Capital Chronicle. The President Donald Trump endorsed challenge for to state Senator Spencer Deary has filed for a recount of their Republican primary race, claiming it was tainted by illegal votes. Fountain County Republican Chair Paula Copenhaver said Monday she was seeking the recount of the certified results that showed her trailing Deary by a 3-vote margin, 6,337 to 6,334. After carefully reviewing the available information, we have obtained documented evidence of illegal voting by illegal voting by unqualified voters in the Senate District 23 Republican primary. Copenhaver said in a statement, "We are formally pursuing a recount to ensure votes were properly counted and returned to this very close election, and that legal votes are counted while illegal votes are not." Copenhaver's recount petition said the campaign had identified 14 people who disclosed in social media posts or to the news reporters that they had voted in the Republican Senate primary despite being Democrats or self-identified progressives. Deary, a first-term senator from West Lafayette, was among the Republican legislators targeted by Trump after voting against the congressional redistricting plan pushed last year by the president. Deary said his campaign was reviewing Copenhaver's recount petition. "I fully support the right of any candidate to request a review of election results as permitted by Indiana law," Deary told the Indiana Capital Chronicle. "With that said, in our state and our country, ill-served any time a candidate refuses to accept the will of the voters, or when a losing candidate makes allegations not backed by facts that undermine public trust in our elections." Copenhaver, a staffer to Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith, benefited from several million dollars in campaign spending by pro-redistricting groups targeting Deary for defeat. Copenhaver said in the news release that participation in the Republican primary by individuals not qualified to vote in the Republican primary violated state law and undermined the will of Hoosier Republicans. Indiana's open primary system. Indiana has an open primary system under which voters may request either Republican or Democratic ballots. Voters, however, must attest that they are seeking the ballot of the political party, a majority of whose candidates I voted for at the last general election or whom I intend to vote for in the next general election. Allegations of cross-party primary voting has been rarely investigated, although some Republicans have unsuccessfully pushed in recent years for Indiana to require party registration for primary voting. Copenhaver's attorneys from the Indianapolis law firm of Kroger, Gardis, and Regas are seeking to take sworn depositions from 14 voters, arguing that they had waived their right to a ballot secrecy. Each of the identified voters not only voluntarily disclosed but voluntarily publicized to a news reporter and or on social media platforms the illegality of their ballots. Admittedly, crossing party lines in the Republican primary election for District 23 and stating who they voted for, the recount petition said. Copenhaver is seeking a manual recount of all ballots in the heavy Republican Senate District 23, which spans all or parts of six counties in the area between Lafayette and Terre Haute. The head of the State Board of Accounts, whose field auditors will conduct the recount, said the complicated logistics for a review of ballots in those counties could extend that work into July. Indiana Capital Chronicle is a part of State's Newsroom, a nonprofit news network supported by grants and coalition of donors as a 501c3 public charity. Indiana Capital Chronicle maintains editorial independence. Contact editor Nikki Kelly for questions at info@indianacapital.chronicle.com. Next story is titled Illinois County Clerks Prepare for Mail Voting Amid Attack and Changes. And this is by the UIS Public Affairs Reporting, Capital News, Illinois. Voting by mail isn't new. The United States first implemented the practice on a large scale when President Abraham Lincoln insisted on holding the 1864 election, and Union soldiers were far from their polling places. Since the 2020 election and the COVID-19 pandemic, it has become an even more popular voting method and one of the most scrutinized. In that election, a third of votes counted in Illinois were by mail. Matt Dietrich, the spokesperson for the Illinois State Board of Elections, said it was the first time many Illinoisans had taken advantage of mail-in ballots. But as 43% of Americans voted by mail in 2020, according to the Census Bureau, it had the parallel consequences of delaying the timeline for ballot counting in several states. 6 years after President Donald Trump lost to Joe Biden in 2020, he still claims the election was rigged and that late arriving mail-in ballots were fraudulent or shouldn't have been counted. Nonetheless, it remains a popular method, especially in Illinois, where the process of ensuring voter confidence in mail voting and elections generally falls upon county clerks. In 2024, more than 18% of voters cast their ballot by mail, according to information from the Illinois State Board of Elections. And in 2016, that number was 6.5%. Many county clerks told Capital News Illinois they've developed strategies to boost confidence in voting by mail by relying on transparency, communication, and having people experience the process. In Illinois, we probably have been doing vote by mail longer than most Midwestern states, Don Gray, the Republican Sangamon County clerk, said in an interview. Because of how long it's been happening, he said the state's process is well established and people's faith grows with the more experience they have with the voting methods. Ahead of this year's elections, the U.S. Postal Service is making changes that could alter mail voting procedures. Congress is considering the Save America Act to tighten voter ID guidelines and exercise more federal control over voter rolls, and the U.S. Supreme Court is considering whether ballots should be counted if they arrive after Election Day. Illinois officials say they're ready to handle those changes. Vote by mail in Illinois. In Illinois, anyone who wants to vote by mail simply has to request a vote by mail application from their county clerk's office, fill it out, and send it back. Then voters wait to receive a ballot in the mail, fill it out, and follow the instructions and about how to return it. Illinois implemented no-excuse mail voting in 2009 and set up a system for permanent mail voting in 2021, which allows voters to sign up to receive ballots without having to request them every time an election comes around. Pew Research Center polling from 2025 shows Americans still support mail voting, although Republican support has decreased since 2021. The poll showed support for mail-in voting was higher in states where it's more common. Seven states now have universal mail-in voting, meaning all voters receive ballots in the mail regardless of whether they asked for them or not. According to the International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance, 32 countries or territories allow some form of mail-in voting, usually called postal voting. Europe has the largest number of countries that allow voters to cast a ballot using the postal service. It is not my experience that there is some vulnerability in systematic or large wide fraud on just a mail program, because I know how we operate and we do it well, Gray says. Like other clerks, Gray said he practices his transparency by inviting people to observe how different steps are taken, from how to request a ballot to receiving it and turning it back in to the clerk's office, and how it's processed and counted. The more you can expose how you operate, the greater trust and confidence you'll have in your jurisdiction, he said. In Sangamon County, the number of people who vote by mail has increased, and so has the number of people registering in the permanent program. Because of that, Gary thinks voters understand the process better. And I think it's going to be kind of a wave of the future, he said. It's one of those pieces that when you engage it and use it, you realize how we do it and how secure it is. You really think to yourself, why haven't I been doing this all along? Okay, we'll do some local briefs. The Georgetown Ridge Farm Alumni Association and the class of 1976 would like to invite you to attend the alumni banquet set for Saturday, May 23rd. The banquet will be at the Beef House Banquet Center in Covington, Indiana. Social hour starts at 5 p.m. Central, with dinner at 6 p.m. and the program to follow. We are honoring the class of 1976, hosting the graduating class of 2026 and the class of 2001. Tickets are for $35 for general admission, $40 at the door. Classes of 1976 and 2026 ticket prices is $15 in advance and $20 at the door, and can be purchased from Lon Starwalt, alumni chairman, and picked up at will call the day of the banquet. Call 217-799-6279, Venmo at Lori-Starwalt-1, or send a check to 406 East West Street in Georgetown, Illinois, 61846. Please make out the checks to GRHS Alumni Association. Questions can be emailed to LLS48RadTech@gmail.com. Food Mobile stops in Vermilion County. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank announces the Food Mobile will be distributing food to local facilities families facing food insecurity in Vermilion County this month. On Tuesday, May 26th, the Food Mobile will make stops at Rossville and Ridge Farm. The distribution is part of the Food Bank's Food Mobile program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to rural or underserved areas. The first stop on May 26 will be at Christmas Park in Rossville from 9:30 to 10:30, followed by a stop in Ward Park in Ridge Farm from 11:30 to 1:30. For a full schedule, Food Mobile facts, and more, visit the www.eiffoodbank.org/help/mobile-html. iCash event at Westville Library. The Westville Library, located at 233 South State Street in Westville, is hosting an iCash event from 10 to 1 p.m. on Friday, May 29th. Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frerich's staff will be there to help reunite citizens with missing money property through the iCash program. For more information, contact Westville Library at 217-267-3170. 5K race set for BOV Festival. The Balloons over Vermilion is going to kick off the 2026 festival with the inaugural Up and Away 5K at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday, June 6th at Kennecott County Park. Runners and walkers are invited to take part in the scenic course, and after the race, participants and others can enjoy a relaxing yoga session led by Merritt Spicer of Yoga on the Go. The one-hour session will begin around 9 a.m. Cost for the race is $45. Participants will receive an official race t-shirt, a race bib number, a medal, and free admission to the post-race yoga session. Non-race participants can join the yoga session for $10. Registration details and additional event information can be found on the website at balloonsoververmilion.com/up-and-away-5k. Westville Library holds book sale. The Westville Library, located at 233 South State Street in Westville, is holding a book sale from 10 to 5:30 p.m. on Friday, May 29th, and from 10 to 1 p.m. on Saturday, May 30th. All items will be 25 cents or fill a bag for a dollar. For more information, contact the Westville Library at 217-267-3170. And Coffee Talk at the Hoopson Library. The Illinois Extension and Omni 4 will be hosting Coffee Talk at the Hoopson Library, located at 110 North 4th Street in Hoopston. The series will teach participants on eating to support cognitive function, medication safety, National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, and general brain health education. The final session, Brain Health, will be held 10:30 to 11:30 on Thursday, June 4th. Coffee will be provided by the Hoopston Public Library. For more information, visit the Illinois Extension website at go.illinois.edu/coffeehpl. So that, hang on, that should be about it today. I think that'll be it. Hang on 1 second here. One more quick one. Danville Church hosts gospel concert. Maury Chapel Church of Christ, located at 19194 East 1100 North Road in Danville, is hosting Narrow Path for a gospel concert at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, May 23rd. Everyone is welcome to attend. For more information, follow Maury Chapel Church at Christ on Facebook. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, May 21st, 2026. Memorial Day weekend. Hope you have a good weekend. Looks like it's going to be a little bit of rain, but not too bad. So hopefully we'll have a good weekend. Stay safe. Don't forget to buckle up and drive safely. Have a good week. Hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care.